Wrapping up the day in cricket, this is ABC Grandstand at Stumps.
Well, Australia with another dominant display here on day four of the final Ashes test, and a 4-0 series win looks to be on the cards for the Australians sometime tomorrow. With England down to 4 for 93, still needing Australia another 210 runs to make Australia bat again, which looks a long way away, and so much is going to hinge on Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root tomorrow. Bairstow 17, Root 42. Dirk Nannis and Simon Kadich are down at ground level with me, Simon. A day in which Australia just ground England into the dust and in severe heat as well.
Yeah, another ruthless display from Australia, particularly the Marsh boys. Fantastic hundreds, and then finished off with the bowling efforts. I mean, to have England 4 for 93 on what looked like a very good batting wicket, but it just goes to show the difference in attacks. And Australia came out fresh. England were jaded. There were some heavy legs there with the top order batting, and Australian attack, well, once again, very, very good in making sure that England were under pressure.
How'd you see it, Dirk?
Well, another dominant day. You say Australia ground them into the dirt today, but I think they've done it over the past few days. It's been a period over this test match where Australia just haven't given an inch at any stage. I think that's been the difference between the two sides over the summer. That Australia have, yes, they've lost wickets, but they don't lose wickets in clusters. And when they bowl, they take wickets in clusters. And it's really hard to compete when your opposition's doing that. And I think we saw that again today, particularly with the ball, the way they came out. And wickets just almost seemed like a formality at times. Nathan Lyon beating the bat to both sides, reverse swing already. They've got the pace to be able to get a bit more reverse swing. It's really ominous signs. And for England to bat out tomorrow, it'd be a miracle.
The Marsh brothers, they're the big story today, aren't they? Their performance, both making centuries here. That reasonably amusing moment when Mitch Marsh brought up his century and Sean Marsh wanted to celebrate mid-pitch before they'd completed the run, and Mitch had to fend him off, and we saw the shots of Steve Smith in the pavilion applauding initially the stroke, then realising what was going on and there was a chance of a run out, and he was shocked by that. But what a lovely moment for the Marsh brothers, first today with Sean reaching his century and then Mitch following suit.
Reasonably amusing. That would have been absolutely magnificent.
Well, Steve Smith didn't find it amusing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. For Sean Marsh to get his 100 in the first over of the day and to get that off his back and then to go on to make 150, and really, in my mind, he cemented his place in the side a while ago. But today he showed his class and why he should be there for a very long time. I think he was fantastic in the way he compiled, and he was instrumental in, like we said earlier, just grinding England. It wasn't a free-flowing innings where he played every shot in the book, but he played the perfect innings for what was out there. And then Mitch Marsh, it was almost the antithesis to that, and the way he came out, and once he was getting close to 100, just went whack, whack, and was belting the ball everywhere. But together, it was a fantastic display of batting.
And I think the thing about Sean Marsh is he's been so rock solid and consistent, and I think that's what Steve Smith has been crying out for. He bats at four. The guys that follow him, he wants those partnerships to keep rolling on, and Sean Marsh has done that magnificently throughout the series. He's done it under pressure at times as well. Think back to that 100 in Adelaide when Australia were under pressure. He did it then. And so, fantastic series from him. And there's, you know, it's an amazing story of redemption, really, because it was only 6 months ago that he lost his contract. People probably thought he's never playing Test cricket again. But you know what? He's fought hard. He's had a good start to the Shield season. And it's, you know, great to see him back in and doing well, because he's a fantastic character around the group. He's a quiet character, but there's no doubt there's a steely resolve there, and he's done beautifully, and he's dragged along little brother with him. And little brother today was the one that was telling big brother what to do. Get down the other end so you don't get run out.
And he's gone through five tests without injury. Sean Marsh, that was probably the thing that's crueled him the most when he has been in form. He's found himself getting injured. How you can turn and come back for a second and stop halfway and start hugging your brother in the middle of the pitch when the ball's still coming from the outfield, that would have been just a classic Sean Marsh dismissal. There's not many people who would be able to get it. Maybe Maxwell would be able to get out like that, but there's not many who'd be able to do it.
Could you imagine if he'd been run out for 100? What the celebration's like then? So he's actually got the 100 because they've got the one,
yep,
and then he's been run out on the second, but then he has to walk back to the pavilion. It would have been absolutely comical.
It would have been an absolute disaster, wouldn't it? The story of the day was that Australia resumed at 4 for 479 in its first innings and then declared at 7 for 649. So Mitch Marsh was eventually bowled by Curran for 101. Australia went to lunch at 5 for 578. Sean Marsh run out when Tim Payne pushed a ball into the covers and Stoneman threw the stumps down. It was a risky run, to say the least, and Marsh on his way for 156, and Mitchell Starc, the only other batsman dismissed from an Australian perspective today, caught it long off by Vince off the bowling of Moeen for 11. The declaration came with Australia 7 for 649, a lead of 303, had kept England, critically, in the field for 193 overs, and 46 of those were today, when the temperatures reached over 40 degrees, up to 43 degrees here in Sydney. But there was a temperature reading done out on the pitch by the curators, which suggested the actual temperature was closer to 53 degrees out in the middle. So that's sheer torture for an England team that has already been through so much during this series, Simon.
It was the cricketing gods being very, very cruel to them today, because they've had a tough time of it all series, the England bowlers, toiling hard on these wickets. I mean, Jimmy Anderson, outstanding. I mean, he only got the one wicket, but he went for 56 runs off 34 overs. That's just a fantastic effort. You can't fault his character. But to come out here today in those oppressive conditions, that just finished them off.
You wouldn't have enjoyed it too much out there today, Dirk, I don't imagine. But full credit to Jimmy Anderson, because when he arrived this morning, he didn't exactly have a pep in his step, and he did have a chuckle as if to suggest, look, we know where we are. This isn't the greatest day to be turning up to play test match cricket, yet he has performed in the way that he has.
Hats off to him and the way he went about it. This morning, yes, he was a little bit down. He realised what the day held for him, because as he was saying this morning about Steve Smith and the way they were trying to get him out yesterday, they were just scratching their heads. They've tried everything against this Australian batting lineup so far this summer, and they just don't have the firepower to get through. But for James Anderson to go through and go for under two and over throughout this test match, when everyone else just seems to be getting belted around. The rest of the bowlers were treated with contempt by the two Marsh brothers and the rest of the Australian order. What an absolute sterling performance, and you know, he deserved more than one wicket.
So Broad, 30 overs, 1 for 121. Moeen Ali, 48 overs, 2 for 170. Curran, 25 overs, 1 for 82. Root bowled 8 overs, none for 21. And poor old Mason Crane, the worst figures by an Englishman on debut, where he conceded the most runs on debut. 1 for 193 from 48 overs. I mean,
48 overs. 193 is okay in a one-day game. Off your 48 overs. Yeah, that's just toil, isn't it? That's all it is.
How would he reflect on that first injection into test match cricket, do you think, Simon?
I think he'll still take some positives out of it. Yes, you can look at the figures and say, oh, you know, not a great debut, but given the situation, given the quality of the batsmen he came up against in their home conditions and the form that they're in, and given the fact he's only 20 years of age, I think he can be quite positive about it, because he bowled some good balls, he cost himself a wicket, and even though he ended up getting that wicket, he got Khawaja later on, but I think that there was a few good signs from him, and plenty to work with in the future.
England assistant coach Paul Farbrace has come across for a chat on Grandstand at Stumps. Let's join him with Henry Moran from the BBC.
Well, Farby, a tough day out there once again.
Very tough day. We've had quite a few of them, haven't we, in this series? Probably too many, and certainly more than we'd have wanted. But, you know, in many ways, it sums up where we've been in this series, doesn't it? We've had too many tough days. Too many days where we've not been able to either apply enough pressure with the ball or build enough partnerships to score big totals. And that's what you get in Test cricket.
Is it a case of quality? Australia are a better side than England?
Well, they proved that over the course of these five games, haven't they? You know, as much as we've talked a lot and we've tried to find positives in the way that we've played, and we've talked about having patches of play, we've had periods of play where we've played well and we thought that we've contributed well, contributing well for small periods isn't enough to win your test matches. You know, and when you find yourself up against it after not getting big scores in first innings, you're always playing catch-up and you're always under pressure for the rest of the game. And, you know, apart from Melbourne, that's pretty much where we've been.
Are some of the players, particularly top of the batting order, Mark Stoneman, James Vince, are they under pressure for their places?
Of course they are. Every player that doesn't score runs in the series is under pressure. That's the nature of the game. It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, Stoneman, Vince, Cook, Root, whoever you are. If you don't score runs, of course you're under pressure, and that's the nature of the game. They know that, and they're disappointed that they've not made the big scores that they would have hoped for and that we'd have hoped for. We picked them because we thought they were the right people for this series. We hope that they go on to get big runs. But I think certainly in Vince and Stoneman's case, they'll have learned a lot about themselves and a lot about the game of Test cricket in this series. I mean, they've come up against four high-quality bowlers who have kept the pressure on them throughout the series. There's been no easy periods, there's been no let-ups, and they've been under pressure every time they batted. And, you know, that's tough for those two. But I think they'll have learned an awful lot.
57 degrees was the temperature recorded out in the middle today. Credit to England, both sides, for coping with these conditions.
Yeah, and that's what you want, isn't it? When you travel the world, you follow the sun, and you want it to be warm. You don't want damp, cold days like we had on the first day. We have enough of that in England. So, you know, we're very fortunate. We spend 12 months a year following the sun. You play in some great venues, and just from time to time, you get hot days. So,
but how tough is that as a player, as a bowler, when you're fighting against the side, piling on the runs? How tough is it to keep going in that heat?
Yeah, of course it's tough. I mean, you know, it's... Yeah, Test match cricket is a mentally draining game to play, and then when you've got, you know, the conditions as they were today, on a, you know, you're coming up against guys who are, you know, they're on top in the game, they're batting well, they're scoring runs. You know, for someone like Jimmy Anderson to run in and bowl the way that he has done time after time throughout this series on some, you know, some tough wickets to bowl on, you know, has shown his high level of skill. But, you know, I think the one thing that we feel we've done is we have stuck at it. We haven't, you know, there have been periods, certainly in this game, where, yeah, the conditions are tough, they're in, they're playing well. You know, it is tough, but what you mustn't ever do is, you know, slacken off in any way, shape or form. And that's something we've talked a lot about, the lads have talked a lot about in the dressing room, you know, at the end of sessions and the start of sessions. And I think that's something that we can be proud of ourselves, that we have hung in there, we have stuck in there, but you would expect that. And you'd be massively disappointed if you didn't have that fight and that commitment to every session that you play. And, you know, sometimes you have to say that opposition have outskilled you or played better than you, whatever it might be. And they certainly have over the course of this series.
One man that showed plenty of guts, the captain, Joe Root, nasty blow on the finger. How is he?
He's OK, he's a bit sore, and I'll probably be a bit stiff and sore in the morning. But again, you know, you'll have that. And on a wicket like this, which has been a good cricket pitch, that perhaps, you know, now there's a little bit of variance with the bounce, you're going to get the odd ball on the top of the bat or on the glove. So that's something that goes with, as part of the course, isn't it, really?
Do you believe England can get out of this game with a draw?
Of course we can. Yeah, there's absolutely no point coming tomorrow if we don't believe that. You know, and that's something that no matter what situation we found ourselves in this series, you know, we genuinely have believed that we can get something out of every single game we've gone into. And until the game is finished, you have to believe that. And if you don't believe that and you start doubting yourself, well, you're in a tough position as a team. And it doesn't matter how tough it gets, the belief has to stay 100% in your side. You know, and our belief is that we can get through tomorrow and get something out of the game.
Paul, many thanks for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
Paul Farbrace, the England assistant there with Henry Moran from the BBC. This is Grandstand at Stumps with Alistair Nicholson, Dirk Nannis and Simon Kadditch. Big day for the Marshes, twin centuries. Let's relive some of their great work on day four.
Grandstand Cricket. The Ashes. On ABC Radio and on Grandstand Digital.
Monali Bowles, he's down the pitch and driving through the covers. There it is. A superb shot to bring up yet another 100. Sean Marsh, who's full of delight, as is his brother, who's running towards him, clapping his hand on his bat. And it's going to be a brotherly hug here. Yes, a big embrace. It's wonderful to see. A very emotional moment for the Marsh brothers. Sean Marsh, a Test 100 at the SCG. And he's had a brilliant summer. And he's capped it off with a Test century at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Mitch Marsh on 99. Curran runs in towards him and he plays on the hop and he gets a run. He gets more than that. He's going to get a few for this. He's run for one and now look at the celebration between these two. They almost cause a run out by hugging mid-pitch on the second run. Whoops. You better finish the run. And now Mitch Marsh is wrapping himself around his brother in exuberant celebration of another magic moment in his career. He raises his arms in the gladiatorial tradition, kisses his helmet and waves it towards his teammates and the crowd. Another wonderful moment for Mitch Marsh in this series. His second Test 100.
Broad runs up again, bowled to Sean Marsh. Marsh punches that away through straight mid-wicket. A couple of runs here for Sean Marsh. He may think about a third on the arm. He is coming back for three, yes. And there's 150 for Sean Marsh. Now his second highest score in Test match cricket.
And he had a big grin on his face as he was listening to some of those highlights on Grandstand Test Cricket. Sean Marsh, thanks for your time. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much. Great day to be out there with Mitch as well. Fantastic.
Special moment initially when you made your 100 and looking at some of the footage and the photos of that, it was like Mitch was celebrating even more than you were. He was so happy for you.
Yeah, lucky he certainly was, and I think I was a bit the same when he got his 100. And, it was just great to be out there with him when he got that 100. And, lucky we didn't get run out.
It caused a few chuckles. Talk us through what happened there, Sean.
I'm not too sure. I think emotions sort of got the better of me, and I just wanted to give him a hug and sort of forgot that the ball was still in play. So,
Did you think it was going for four?
I'm not too sure. I don't know what happened. I just saw him starting to celebrate, and I just wanted to give him a hug, and lucky enough, it all worked out well.
Have you spoken to the captain about that? Because his reaction at the time was quite amusing in itself.
Yeah, look, it was it was pretty funny in the change rooms at lunchtime. I guess it was just one of them things. Luckily, it all worked out well, and his reaction was pretty funny.
You look so composed at the crease throughout this whole series. You look really relaxed at the peak of your game. How have you gotten to this point, given that, you know, in the last 6 months you were cut from the contract list and you probably thought you might not be playing Test cricket again?
Yeah, look, I sort of just went away and just tried to just enjoy my cricket. And I think I said this a few weeks ago, that I went to England, I really enjoyed it over there and come back, and I didn't put too many expectations on myself, and I just wanted to try and score as many runs as I could for WA and see where that got me. And lucky enough, got called up into the Test team, and just really wanted to have a lot of fun during the series, and trying to put too much pressure on myself, and just enjoy it for what it is.
We saw today the England bowlers were battle weary, yet James Anderson seemed to be the pick of them, and yet you didn't. Found it difficult to score against him. Was he someone that you were purposely just trying to get through?
Yeah, I thought he bowled fantastically well today. It was hard work, and he's been a tough bowler to face throughout this series. He doesn't really give you too many balls, four balls, to hit, and he's had to work hard to get through that little period, and we did that, and the runs sort of flowed after that.
And the youngster on debut, Mason Crane, obviously a tough initiation for him. How did you find him?
Yeah, look, he's got a lot of potential. I think he spins the ball, and he's got some varieties there. So I'm sure he'll learn a lot from this Test match going forward.
And just in terms of how you felt out there, Sean, because physically, obviously, it was so hard for the English bowlers today with those oppressive conditions. What about batting out there? What was it like for you?
Yeah, look, it was a lot of fun, as I said before, to be out there, Mitch, and to both get Test entries for Australia was an amazing feeling. It's been a fantastic day. So hopefully we come tomorrow and we get the 6 wickets and we have another Test win.
Changes things a fair bit though, doesn't it? Because there was that element of uncertainty surrounding your position in the team coming into this series, and now it seems there's no uncertainty surrounding your spot in the side. Is that a good thing to feel or know that?
Oh, look, it's for me, it's just trying to take it one game at a time and just keep enjoying it. And I'm doing that at the moment, just keep working hard, and hopefully the results keep coming.
And Nathan Lyon's obviously a real threat tomorrow on this pitch from your perspective.
Yeah, look, he certainly is. He's obviously a fantastic spinner, and he bowled really well today, and he's going to create chances tomorrow. And, as I said, hopefully we can come here tomorrow and get them 6 wickets.
Sean, congratulations on your form during the series and your performance today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Sean Marsh with us on Grandstand at Stumps here at the SCG after his brilliant innings today. Sean Marsh making 156 for Australia, his second highest score in Test match cricket. What an innings it was. And he didn't really go into it too much. He's not going to flesh out how he feels, but it's a significant one, his performance today and through the series, Simon, because there's always this talk circling around Sean Marsh and his brother as well about their position within the team that's now been resolved.
Well, there's not now, because the way he's played throughout this series has been fantastic to watch. He's in best career best form. And I think what shows in what he's just said to us is that, you know, he's just taking it each test at a time. And I know that's a cliche, but he probably has to at this stage of his career. And maybe it's something that he hasn't quite done in the past. He might have looked a bit too far in front of himself previously when you do get in the team. But now, because it's probably, he knows it's his last chance, it's probably freed him up, because he just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and enjoy each test, enjoy the moment, and wherever it leads me, it leads me. And it's amazing what happens when you've got that mindset. All of a sudden, you play with that freedom that you probably had when you were a kid, and the pressures go, and he's just going to enjoy it. And this could well be the best couple of years of his test career. Hopefully it can keep going for a while now.
All right, Dirk, just a quick look ahead tomorrow. The Australian bowling group, now four of them have taken more than 20 wickets in this series. England are four down. They're on the ropes. What do you think's going to take place here tomorrow?
Well, you can't see anything other than Australia running through them. Whether that happens in the first session or attritional cricket over the course of the day, Nathan Lyon's got the ball turning, the ball starting to go reverse. We saw this afternoon maybe a little kink in that Mitchell Starc seemed so... He was completely out on his feet at the end of the day, but that's just the heat. It's not often you bowl in conditions like this where it's so oppressive. But they'll be fresh tomorrow, and each of them have taken over 20 wickets. And you look back to the start of the series, I don't think we would have sat there and thought, well, these bowlers are going to make their whole way through. Mitchell Starc, yes, he missed one test, but by and large, it's extraordinary that they've all gotten through.
So stumps on day four at the SCG. England 4 for 93, still netting 210 runs to make Australia bat a second time. So much hinges on Root and Bairstow. Root 42, Bairstow 17. We'll bring you all the play tomorrow from 10 a.m. We'll have the build-up and then play starting at 10:30. Entry here is gold coin donation to the McGrath Foundation. But let's relive another dominant day for Australia on day four at the SCG.
On ABC Radio and on Grandstand Digital.
Oh, gnarly bowls. He's down the pitch and driving through the covers. There it is. A superb shot to bring up yet another 100 for Sean Marsh, who's full of delight, as is his brother, who's running towards him, clapping his hand on his bat. And it's going to be a brotherly hug here. Yes, a big embrace. A very emotional moment for the Marsh brothers. Sean Marsh, a test 100 at the SCG, and he's had a brilliant summer. Mitch Marsh on 99. Curran runs in towards him and he plays on the hop and he gets a run. He gets more than that. He's going to get a few for this. He's run for one, and now look at the celebration between these two. They almost cause a run out by hugging mid-pitch on the second run. And finally, in the nick of time, they realise, whoops, you better finish the run. And now Mitch Marsh is wrapping himself around his brother in exuberant celebration, his second test 100. And he was celebrating before he finished completing the second run. That was very amusing. Curran goes in again. Marsh is bowled. Bowled! That kept a little low. He was trying to invent a stroke around the off stump. He may have chopped it on. The off stump is flattened. And Marsh is out. A wicket for England. He's been bowled by Curran for 101. And the applause for Mitch Marsh as he leaves the SCG.
Mowing again, giving himself room. And cutting, what a shot. Sean Marsh is in majestic form at the moment. Marsh punches that away through straight mid-wicket. A couple of runs here for Sean Marsh. He may think about a third on the arm. He is coming back for three, yes. And there's 150 for Sean Marsh. Now his second highest score in Test match cricket. He has been outstanding during this series, Sean Marsh. Last ball of Broad's over, bowls to Payne. Payne pushes into the covers and sets out for a quick single. And that is a chance of a run out. It says a direct hit. We're going to have a look at this. He is out by a mile. That's a very good piece of fielding from Mark Stoneman in the covers. And Sean Marsh, his superb innings comes to an end. 156 for Sean Marsh, who wanders off the SCG with his bat raised in his place in the Australian team, having been completely consolidated during this series. It's been a series he'll never forget.
Here goes a big heave by Stark, up and over, wide, mid on. That's going to go over the rope. Is it for six? Yes. Stark, so he goes big against Conheimia. Shouts to catch it. Mid off, running in, underneath it. Takes the catch. Holds on. James Vince coming in from the deep at long off. Australia 7 for 613 now, and the lead 267.
Steve Smith called them in. 303 is enough. A massive total, really. 7 declared for 649.
Stoneman taps away as Stark comes in and bowls. Stoneman wrapped on the pad. Big appeal. Oh. Out! Mitchell Stark with the early breakthrough. He's out for a duck. England 1 for 5. Hazelwood bowls off the edge, drops! Dropped at first slip. Sean Marsh moving to his right. He's put down one that he really should have taken. Cook gets a life.
Back goes. He's hit on the pad. It's a good for LBW. He's bowled. Don't worry about the LB. He played back and missed it. Cook is bowled. Lyon gets another left-hander. And it's 2 for 15. Cook, who was dropped and slipped, has now been bowled by Lyon for 10.
England 2 for 40. Vince on strike. Lyon bowls and he's out and he's caught behind. Is he? Yes! Now, James Vince has called for the DRS here. Nothing on the Snigo either. So not out. That decision is overturned. Vince on strike. Cummins bowls. Vince off the edge. It's caught. A juggling catch by Steve Smith. And England is 3 down here.
He's in again and bowling to Milan. And Milan is forced back onto his stumps or towards his stumps. There's a big appeal for LBW.
A long period of consideration. And the umpire raises his finger. Umpire's call. David Milan is walking off the SCG. England has lost a fourth wicket. Nathan Lyon with 2 wickets now in England, 4 for 68.
The Ashes on ABC Radio and on Grandstand Digital.